in this appointment for this, the third Sunday in Advent, the same for St. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. St. John, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the Jews sent to John from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he acknowledged and did not deny, and he acknowledged, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They therefore said to him, "Who art thou, that we may give answer to those who sent us? What hast thou to say of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said Isaiah the prophet." And they who had been sent were from among the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John said to them in answer, "I baptize with water, but in the midst of you there has stood one whom you do not know. He it is who is to come after me, who has been set above me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to loose." These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the end of the Epistle and Gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
This morning, in St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, he's telling them to rejoice. At this time, the persecution of the Christians was going on full steam. And being new to their new religion that he converted them to, they start to fear. And St. Paul's reminding them not to fear, not to give in to anxiety. Love casteth out fear. And to instill a peace of mind and heart, which the world cannot offer. This is what he was trying to impress upon them, not to give in, to be angry, or to fight against the system, but to tolerate it, put up with it, show your strength in your modesty, in your faith, in your courage, in your prayers. Pretty much sounds like today, doesn't it? We too should be rejoicing that we have the peace of God in our hearts, that our love for God is increased daily and strengthened, that when anxiety does take effect, it doesn't bother us. We remain calm, serene. But the main thing we have to point out here is our moderation, our modesty among men, basically our good example, and how well we should show that. Every day we have an opportunity to improve ourselves, to correct ourselves, to prepare our hearts for the coming of our Lord, not just in Advent, but every day of the year, every time we go to communion, It's like a preparation before. That we prepare ourselves through prayer and penance, mortification. Show the good Lord how loyal we wish to be. And how do we show our loyalty? By always continuously trying to fight against our corrupt nature, our bad habits, our evil desires. And as long as we keep doing these things, we are on the right track. It's only when we give in or give up when things really get wild. And we seem to lose sight and lose focus of our true goal. We're not here to pamper ourselves, to grow fat in the land, to have everything easy. I think our Lord gave us a good example of that. In the gospel, the Pharisees were concerned because this man out in the desert was living such a holy and penitential life that it drew curiosity and a little envy too of what kind of person this man was. Here again is preparation. St. John was preparing the people to humble their hearts, to prepare themselves for the great coming. We too have to follow the same suit. As he says, make straight the ways of the Lord, correct our corrupt mannerisms. What good would it do for us if we lived in the world and did everything that the world is and lose our soul? I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. Nor do we want to be someone full of pride. As a story once my abbot mentioned about religious life, that a monk or nun can go through 20, 30, 40, even 50 years of religious life, show the greatest virtue of obedience by being obedient. Everything the abbot or his superior said throughout his whole life, observing that obedience, obeying the rules, obeying this, obeying that, and yet he can still lose his soul and go to hell. Why? Because he wasn't practicing the virtue of obedience. He wasn't being really obedient to what he professed. He was being obedient to the rules and regulations. That's up here. It didn't come from down here. That goes for all of us, really, when you get right down to it. Do we just observe the law, or do we practice it? Do we observe the church's rules and regulations? Or we put them to good fruit by practicing them, by keeping up with them, by truly trying to honor them, what they stand for. Look at God's laws. Look how well they are being trampled upon today. It has made as little or as of nothing. Sadly to say, the biggest one that comes to mind is the sacrament of matrimony. Look how this is portrayed today. It's almost like a joke. The The sacrament of matrimony did not end when you took your vows at the altar. It ends when you depart in death. That's when it ends. So every day, let us keep focused on our goal. Why we are here. Our purpose here. To know, love, and serve God. That's our purpose. We have our work cut out for us. He leaves these little crosses for us to deal with. The impatience, the uncharitableness, unkindness, trying to conquer all these bad little habits that we have. This is how we sanctify ourselves. This is how we become holy, by fighting against ourselves. And every day we get another opportunity to, with the help of God's grace, to do this. So when we approach the holy table, our hearts and minds are pure and clean, as best as we can make them. That's all He wants. That's all He desires. Remember, our Lord only wants one thing. He only desires one thing to do for us, and that is always to forgive us and forget. To show His loving mercy toward us every day of our existence. No matter how bad we might feel or how awful things might be in life. As long as we are sorry for our faults and failings, we have His forgiveness. But we have to do the other part of that. And that is to amend our life. Not to fall backwards into things that we said we confessed and trying to avoid. And sadly to say, this is where the devil makes his greatest strength. Because he puts little notations in our head, thinking, well, it's not so bad. It's okay this one time. Wrong. It is bad. Because he's cracking open a window or opening a door or whatever, trying to get in, trying to disturb our conscience, our peace of mind. And we always got to be watching and praying. That's the key, to watch and to pray. Keep yourself busy. Don't let yourself be idle. Try to be doing something. If there's nothing to do, pick up a good book and read it. Keep your mind active on things. As long as you're doing these things, He can't make a move against you. No matter how hard He might try, He might cause other things to happen to disturb you, to get you off, get your mind off of what you're trying to achieve. For instance, how many times has it been when you start praying or reading, the phone rings or a child screams or something happens and you got to stop what you're doing and go attend to that? It's a natural thing, yes. But we have to come back and continue where we left off and not let that distraction take over. We take care of it and deal with it and come back and continue on where we left off. Otherwise, we get caught up in the distraction and then He's kind of won the day because He's ticking off the thing that you were doing, praying or reading, and put your mind on something else. Always remember, the devil doesn't want companions in hell. Companionship is a type of friendship, a comrade. He doesn't want any of that. He wants your destruction. That's all He desires. That's all He plans for. That's all He thinks about. He does not want you to have what He lost. The great light bearer, the one who should be announcing the Messiah's coming with the angels, lost that glory, lost that duty, lost everything. And because of that, He seeks out to devour who He made, who is stupid enough to get close enough to pretend to be friends with Him. This is what we have to watch out for. We can only do this by the grace of God, by staying close to the sacraments, keeping ourselves busy doing our daily duties, being charitable to our neighbors, helping people who we can when the opportunity arises, and most of all, persevering in prayer. This is our duties. This is what we have to do. This is what we have to keep striving after every day, regardless if we feel like it or not. This is the life. The life of holiness. It's not easy. Anytime you read the lives of the saints, you'll see that their lives were not easy. The things they had to endure, the things they had to give up, but their continuous perseverance in prayer made them saints. It kept them focused on God. And that's what we have to do. So as Christmas gets closer and closer, here we are on the third week of Advent. As in Lent, we take a little break and put on the rose vestments. Kind of lighten up the atmosphere a little bit by rejoicing in the good Lord. And also remember, too, before I quit, remember our Lord complained about one major thing, and that is ingratitude. Let us be thankful for all the things that the good Lord gives us. Even the little minute things that you don't even think of. The clothes you wear, the food we eat, and little things like that. Let us be grateful to the good Lord for everything. Because the more we show our gratitude toward the Lord, the more He's ready to help us with His grace. Let us try to work on that every day. May God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.